Pardon me, something is going on, Mark.
Sorry.
Oh, I love this. Brilliant. Can we do this every Sunday?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Embroidery Podcast. Today we've got a special guest, Becky Hogg, and we are going all to talk about metal thread embroidery. So we hope you enjoy our chat today.
Hi, everyone. Mark and I are so happy to welcome our colleague and dear friend, Becky Hogg. Before we start, let me read out Becky's profile. Becky Hogg works as a hand embroiderer, specializing in metal thread embroidery. After a degree in textiles at Loughborough, she went on to train on the RSN's 3-year apprenticeship at Hampton Court Palace in all aspects of hand embroidery. Having now worked for over 20 years in the profession, Becky has been involved in many prestigious projects, including a new set of theatre curtains for the Royal Opera House in London, and more recently, a replica embroidery for Queen Anne's throne canopy. As well as teaching embroidery, Becky also designs and produces metal thread embroidery kits. Drawing inspiration from the natural world, her kits include birds, flowers, and even fish, inspired by her hometown of Hastings on the southeast coast of the UK. Becky's work endeavors to keep hold of the traditional stitches and threads, but she also loves to reinterpret the old techniques to give a fresh and contemporary look to her designs. There we go. Shall we start a chatting now, Marg?
Right. The first thing I'm going to do is talk about what actually is metal thread embroidery.
Okay, wow. Becky.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Thanks for inviting me on the podcast as well. I really love listening to it. I'm really happy to join in if I can say anything useful.
Thank you, Becky.
I guess I remember when I first went to the Royal School of Needlework, which is where obviously we all train there, and looking around the studio at goldwork or metal thread embroidery, it's the same thing, isn't it? How fascinating it was and how I couldn't really work out how it was done.
Yeah.
Because kind of the stitches are kind of hidden in a way, aren't they?
Yeah.
I guess to define it, it's kind of different to other styles of embroidery because the metal is either too thick or too delicate to stitch with. So you're kind of moulding it into positions with another sewing thread. So all of the metal is kind of on the surface of the fabric, so it doesn't go through it. And it's applied with, say, like a Gutermann's thread or a anchor sewing thread, stranded cotton or something like that, isn't it?
But
and they are actual metal threads, which is an amazing thing. You're actually working with metal.
Lots of people ask me, like, is it really gold or is it real gold, you know? And it's like, Becky, please answer to that.
Although obviously in our training we used actual gold threads, I don't actually use it that much. I use occasionally, but I think the actual gold threads have about 3 or 4% of actual gold in them, and then there is like a mix of other metals like copper or and a lot of them have a cotton core or silk core, don't they, to make them more sort of malleable and so you can kind of manipulate them. So they're a bit softer. But yes, yeah, some, I'm probably going ahead of myself, but yes, yeah, some of them are just metal, aren't they?
But yeah.
Like the pearls. So it's like a fine wire that's coiled into like a little tube that you can then apply by almost like stitching down a bead, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose for me, I'm a bit like you, Becky. I haven't really used any thread with gold in, and for that matter silver, and that's because I really tarnish my threads. So
remember
working a project, and I use silver. I quite like silver. I'm not the biggest fan of gold, but I use silver threads, and before I'd even got to the end of my project, I'd started to tarnish my project, so my threads were tarnishing. So for me, I enjoy metal, the coloured metal threads, and I really love some of the techniques of metal thread work, but I don't use pure silver, don't use pure copper, and I don't use any gold, because my original gold work that I worked in my second year of my apprenticeship is now black. So, I've got this coat. It looks really antique, actually. It looks like it's hundreds of years old, but it isn't. And that's purely because I tarnish everything. So I'm the same as you, Becky. I don't use.
You know, I think it's so nice, that process. I don't mind that, you know, the tarnished pieces has a certain charm. I think.
Yeah, it has a kind of, if you're using gold, it kind of has a warmer look to it, I think. Warmer kind of glow to it as it's aged. Our students always asking me about the tarnishing, and I never really know what to say, except, you know, I don't know exactly how long it takes, or the, you know, the process of it. But I'd suggest putting it in a, you know, in a frame or something. But obviously, lots of metal thread work was used on garments and, you know, things that are used, like ecclesiastical embroidery and the Queen's coronation robe, or robe of state, I should say. All those sorts of things. I guess they're sort of things that are used occasionally, though, aren't they? Rather than, you know, your everyday jacket or something. I just suggest, you know, if you want to keep it in that new looking sort of state to frame your work, but otherwise, like Masako, you say, it's quite nice to see. You can kind of age it, can't you? Sort of in the fact that it's tarnished
So what type of materials do you like? What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
I really like more recently using the silk wrapped pearls. So it's like, you'd be familiar with it. Some of them are a coil again. So it's like a coil of copper, I think. And it's bound in silk floss and then made into a coil. So I really love that. I like the texture of it, and it's still got a metal kind of base. Sometimes you can stitch through it as well as couching it. I guess it depends what shape you want to manipulate it into. So I really love that, and obviously then you can get any color you want, because it's got the silk on top. And also the silk wrapped plate I love now.
Just in case people don't know what plate is, can we say what plate is?
It's almost like a metal ribbon, I guess, like a sort of almost like a tape of fine metal.
Yeah,
and you can get it in gold and silver and copper, can't you? And but you can also get it wrapped, like bound in silk, so the metal's completely covered, and it's kind of, it's stitched over the metal. It's called couching. And you basically stitch over one section and then you kind of fold it. So it's got, it's a kind of sort of
corsetina.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like flipping it back and forth to fill in a shape. So I really like the effect of the sort of process, the sort of zigzaggy, what did you say, Mark?
Corsetina, I guess.
Corsetina,
folding it over, I guess. Yeah.
And it get with the silk on it, because it's got a slight sheen to it, it has a nice sort of reflective quality as well.
Yeah.
And I really like, I do use silver and gold if it's appropriate to the design, I suppose, because it's generally birds that I do, or little animals and things, sort of drawn on things from nature all the time. So I'm not actually really deciding on the colours myself, because they're already there. So I just try and kind of match as close as possible to what's available within metal threads for the image. But yeah, I really like using those types of threads and mixing different. That's what's nice about the metal threads, is that there are so many different textures. There are really smooth threads that are little tubes. Or there are more textured ones that are the same, called wire check, which probably get the most texture from those. And the coiled metals have another texture. So you can kind of, I was thinking actually, like traditionally gold work obviously is just gold. So in that sense, it's quite vital to use the breadth of textures that there are. Because it is all just one colour.
So, Becky, that's a really good point, that you try and use all the textures, because otherwise, if everything is one colour, so if it was just gold, it could look a bit flat or uninteresting. And like you say, there's so many metal threads that have got texture. You need to kind of make sure that your piece, lots of them in, especially for contemporary work like you do, then you need to use them all.
And then also I don't think we talked about the, I mean, I don't always pad up a design, but that's either felt or a technique called soft string couching, also carpet felt, which I never use because it's a horrible material.
Oh, horrible.
I'm so glad you say that, because I hate carpet felt.
There must be an alternative now. I mean,
yes, I think I used very thick felt instead of carpet felt. And then I used like two layers of that.
Because gold work can be quite sculptural, can't it, with with the padding, like stump work, or quite 3D. It's nice to kind of mold the padding to fit your shape. You know, the soft string is used in kind of narrower spaces, isn't it, and you can taper it into points and things, whereas the carpet felt, there's a limit to the, it has to be quite a big
shape
to use that, and you kind of mold it with stitches, don't you, to mold it into the position with lots of stitches over it, and then it has to have craft felt on, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it all encased, I suppose. But it's quite fascinating, all of that. A few years ago, I did a project for historic royal palaces, because the textile conservation people are at Hampton Court, so the same as the RSN. And I did. They asked me if I'd do two replica embroideries. So they're metal thread that were on a Queen Anne throne canopy. So it's 1500 and something. Don't quote me on that, but it's in the 1500s. So all of the metal thread was, like Marg was saying earlier, is completely tarnished. So the silver had just gone black. But on the back of the ones that were still there, you could just see sort of glimmers of the original, like gold and silver on the back, because I guess they've been protected from the atmosphere. But the, because we were talking about the padding, it was quite funny, because you know we always think of these sort of special embroideries, like prestigious pieces being worked immaculately, you know, but it was like, I feel awful saying this, but it's fast. I just found it fascinating. It was like two really crudely cut out pieces of orangey coloured felt, just like whacked on the back. That wasn't, you know, like we do it in all, even though you can't, you know, you can't see the padding, obviously, after you've put all your metals on top. But we always do it so precisely. But these two bits were just, it had just like one massive stitch on the back. I thought that was brilliant. They, because obviously at the, in their studios, they have equipment or the science to be able to determine what these threads would have been like, so looking through the microscopes and things. So that was really fascinating.
I wonder if anyone in future years will, sorry, I was just wondering if anyone in future years will be looking at our work with microscopes and making comments on it.
Looking at the back of the work.
You were making some replica of Crown and the Roses, or
And they won because the two emblems were missing. Well, it was a repeat pattern, so rose crown, rose crown. But two of them, I don't know what had happened to them, but they wanted to replace them to kind of blend in with how they look now. So I had to commission one of the manufacturers to make a metal that looked tarnished, basically. So for this project, because the company, you know, Historic Royal Palaces, wanted them to blend in with the pieces that are surviving, I commissioned the metal thread manufacturer in this country to make a metal like a passing thread. So one of the threads that's got like a cotton or silk core, and then with the wire wrapped around it, that sort of thread, you know, to look as if it was old, basically. So I think actually in the end it had almost like a lilac-y cotton core, and then this like a dull kind of pewtery colour, I suppose, wrapped around it. And for some reason the tone of the core was quite significant, in that it was, you know, kind of, it didn't show through, but it gave the metal on top a kind of different feel, I suppose, different colour. And it didn't look exact, the emblems didn't look exactly like what was still there. But in a way, I think they didn't want them to look, you know, they want people to know that they're not original. So it's kind of like a weird balance, having them kind of blend in, but also the people know in the future that they were done at a later stage.
It's obvious that conservation and restoration have taken place, but not so obvious as to stand out. So it just is. That's interesting.
That was a really nice job, because it's using those traditional skills still that we all have learned at the RSN, and like continuing that on, you know, it's like the dream job, I think.
Was there lots of couching for that?
Couching, a little bit of cut work, which is where you cut the little tube-like pieces of metal to the right size and then sew through them. So a little bit of that, but mainly couching, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they, interestingly, actually sewn with some of the passing threads. So through, so we were saying before that all the metals generally just held on the surface. They'd actually stitched with the metal. So I had to use a really big needle so that the metal didn't sort of get destroyed as it goes through the material. So because I kind of had to do it the same in the same way, you know. So that was quite interesting because it was like a really thick passing thread that you're having to stitch with.
But, yeah.
And also the fabric that it was done on had this, it was like a grosgrain, you say grosgrain silk. So it had like a banner silk. Mm. It had kind of ridges in it. Mm-hmm. And in the ridges was a very fine metal.
Oh.
And I couldn't find a fabric to match it. Mm. So I actually couched really with really tiny stitches over just a fine wire into the grooves of this silk. Mm-hmm. So 2 years later. No, I'm only joking.
So originally the original fabric had been woven with metal in it.
I guess so, and that would have been
amazing to probably see originally. Yeah,
it's really beautiful.
Right, we can't really find a similar fabric these days, no?
No, well, I couldn't find anything. If any of your viewers know, or viewers, listeners.
But what about other fabrics? What do you think other fabrics are suitable for metal thread embroidery?
I guess it just needs to be something strong that has a close weave because the metal's quite heavy, isn't it? And if there's lots of padding, it's a lot of strain on the fabric.
Yeah.
I tend to just use a linen as one I use from Whaley's, so a company in Bradford that sell fabrics. I don't tend to back it, but lots of students ask me, should I back this with calico or something?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You can do. I don't bother because the linen seems to be strong enough.
Yeah.
So generally linen, but obviously like the coronation robe was done on a silk velvet. And that's a part of the training, isn't it? RSN I don't know if it still is, but sort of emblem from the coronation robe. Which is on, I think the velvet's put onto a calico base. I think you can stitch it on anything as long as it's a strong enough, has a strong enough, you know, close weave kind of.
And I suppose if you're using metal threads and you're having to take some through to the back to finish them, you don't want something like a silk which might have runs in it. So you kind of need it to be strong enough to take some metals through, so you don't want to be damaging, I guess, your fabric.
Because a lot of the passing ends, because they have a cotton core, you need to finish them off through to the back, like you said. And if some of them are quite heavy or thick, you have to make a little hole, don't you, with a mallore, which is a weird gold work tool, which looks a little bit like a paddle, but with a pointed end. Or you can use a stiletto, can't you, like a wide work tool, just to make a little hole. Sort of separate the grains of the fabric in order for this thread to fit through, so you can finish it on the back. But that's kind of the only time the metal goes through the fabric, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you use any other tools or equipment?
I do use tweezers a bit because I guess you use them in other types of embroidery anyway, but they're quite handy, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of tweezers.
Especially for unpicking.
I'm not very good at using tools because, Becky, you mentioned using a Mallore. And I'm a bit naughty. I just use a big tapestry needle. So, but I have to say, I do agree. The one tool I do use is tweezers. So, I know those that do a lot of metal work use a Mallore, as they should do.
I use it for, like we were saying, about making that little hole, and it's quite good as a kind of laying tool, isn't it, when you're doing the cup work with the tubes of metal to kind of guide the thread in position, and just a general kind of prodding tool, because a lot of the threads can break, can't they? Some of them are quite delicate, so you just want kind of gentle sort of nudge sometimes with them. But the tweezers are also quite good for, so with the passing thread, you generally stitch it as a double, don't you? So you'd couch over two threads at a time. So in order to kind of make your life easier, I quite often start it with a loop. So there's a loop at one end. So then I only have to plunge, so take the end through on one side. So I start with a loop, and I tend to pinch the loop with the tweezers so that it closes the loopy gap. So it's quite good for that.
That's a very good tip there. Can I ask you, do you use beeswax? And if you do, what do you use it for?
Yeah, I do tend to use it because sometimes a metal's a bit abrasive against your sewing thread. So it's just to strengthen the sewing thread, isn't it? So it's never used on the metal, just the sewing thread to give it a bit of oomph. Because particularly, for instance, the pearl, which is a strange name for the thread, but which is just a wire, sometimes it can cut the thread, can't it? It can cut the sewing thread. So it's good to strengthen it with the wax. So yeah, I think I've not used it so much with the silks, in case it sort of rubbed off on the silk wrap metals, but generally use it, and I was trying to think what else in terms of tools.
Do you use a thimble?
No.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't know. I suppose after sort of doing the same thing for 20 odd years, my fingers are, they're not rough, but you know, I don't feel the need for a thimble. I mean, I generally use a number 10 needle, which isn't as fine. Like, Marg, I know you use a finer one.
Yeah.
12 or.
Yeah.
But it's not so fine that you injure yourself. Yeah. I suppose if you're working over lots of padding, which is quite tough, you probably, I probably would then. I'm just trying to think what else I'd use. And people often ask about the scissors in terms of cutting the metal.
That's a good point.
You can get goldwork scissors, can't you, that have one of the blades has
a serrated blade.
Which I haven't used, to be honest. I tend to use the Japanese ones, the Kai, K-A-I. Because you need something that's really fine, need to cut the metal cleanly.
Becky, would you like to talk about the chip work or cut work, and then what the differences are?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, cut work just basically describes what you're doing with the metal. So it's more, I guess it's quite precision based, isn't it? Because it's all about the length that you cut the metal. So the metal that you're cutting is the one we described. It's called a pearl, and some of them are smooth, some have more texture, which are called wire check or bright check. And it all depends how it's been made. I think the wire check and the bright check are spun around a needle that's three-sided. Mm-hmm. And the smooth is obviously wound around just a smooth needle. I've never actually seen them being made. I'd love to go to the manufacturers. But yeah, with cut work, it's about stitching. What kind of replicates a satin stitch?
Yes.
With the metals. So if you imagine just a satin stitch in cotton or wool, the look is very similar, but you're sort of just adding a tube of metal on your thread each time. So when you cut the thread, say your shape tapers off, it's about cutting it, you know, getting exactly the right size to fit the width of your shape. So that it looks smooth and you've got a nice edge. So it's kind of smoother, I suppose. And with chipping, that's using the same thread, but you're cutting the pieces much smaller into like little seed bead sizes. And then they're stitched like seeding, if you've done that in crawl work or something. Where the stitches are all in different directions. I mean, there's no space between the stitches. It's a completely filled area. But to create the texture, you need to vary the angle of each stitch. And it looks really kind of encrusted, doesn't it? It's really pretty, like glittery.
Yeah,
the glittery one. And cut work, you can sort of create loops with it, like a little detached chain stitch. Or actually recently I've been doing it because I quite like kind of building layers up with the metal. So maybe having a base of couching or maybe cords with couching in rows, and then on top of that doing say little loops of cut work to kind of emulate maybe a bird's feather. Or putting a little few sequins on top of couching, or the cut work's pretty delicate, isn't it? So you can't really stitch on top of the cut work, but certainly on top of couched areas. I suppose the sort of the two main things, techniques in metal thread, are the couching and then the cut work or stroke chipping kind of thing. I was thinking the other day when I've been doing a new design of the strawberry thief, so the William Morris.
I love that. Yeah.
And it's, what was I gonna say? Yeah, most of it really is couched, even though there's loads of different types of metal, so like the silk plate, the silk wrap pearl, cut work. It's basically all stitched over, but it's kind of, so it's most of it's couched, but it's used, it's kind of manipulating the threads into different positions with the couching stitch. I guess those are the two main things, aren't they? I don't know what you think.
Yeah. And also I suppose in normal embroidery, quite a lot, your couching stitches really show. But with some of the metal thread, you hide your couching stitches so that you're just seeing the gold thread or the metal thread, you don't see it. So some you hide, or some that you make patterns in, don't you? So you can brick your stitch, or you can do little diagonal patterns. So it's kind of lots of different ways to couch, either hiding your stitch or making it a feature, I suppose, of your design.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, it could just be a functional stitch, like you say, like, so it's invisible, and it's just like with the pearl, you kind of slot it into the grooves of the stitch, into the grooves of the metal.
Yeah.
But then, like you say, with the couching, it can be a feature, a sort of decorative part of the design, which sometimes is described as ornue, isn't it?
Yes.
So you're putting colour, like an adding a different colour on top of the metal to make it decorative, which is really lovely. And you can kind of create a pattern, or even like a picture on top of the metal, which is amazing. It's a good way of adding colour in. So if you weren't using like the silk wrap pearls, or you're just using silver or gold, if you want a colour in that, you can put it on top of the metal, which is lovely.
Yeah, it's really attractive.
So you think couching is the most important technique in the metal thread embroidery?
I think it's, that's fundamentally the, it's the thing that's coating used the most, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or the cut work, obviously. It's, so you're either going over the metal or through the middle of it, unless there's something I don't know about.
And then lots of my stitching friends says they love couching, but they hate plunging. Do you have any advice for them?
That's why I start with a loop.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do lots of loops at the end and turning, and then you've only got to plunge each end.
Oh, yeah, you could turn, like zigzag it, couldn't you? I think if the thread's too thick, though, it's quite hard to do.
Yes. Yes, I'm just trying to avoid things, I guess.
Plunging is not a nice job. No,
not a nice job.
And then you have to turn it over and then get rid of, like, sew all the ends on the back. And it seems like a waste of time because no one's going to see the back, really. Yeah. But it is, I guess it is important because you need to fix the threads in position, don't you? But yeah, if you can avoid so many ends. Because sometimes you can work the couching in a spiral, can't you? It doesn't have to just be like rows. It could be that you start on the outside edge and work your way in. But it has to be, I guess,
plunging in the middle.
Symmetrical shape. Because you could, if you do that with something that's maybe like a lozenge shape, you might get a kind of awkward bit to fill in the middle. It doesn't always work, but yeah, if you can do it in a spiral, then yeah, you only have to finish at the beginning and the end.
Do lots of spirals.
Yeah.
And then start with the loop.
Yes.
That's right, yeah. Because you have to, obviously, when you've plunged the threads, you have to sew them on the back within the design. So if you've got loads, it's quite hard, isn't it, to fit them all in.
So when you tie, when you tie back in the reverse side of the fabric, do you use carved needle or do you use a straight needle?
I'd use a curved needle. I just find it easier because you're just working on that one side. You're not going through. It's easier to pick the needle up, you know, from the same side, the same surface, if that makes sense. And I use the beading one. I know it's probably a little bit big in terms of its length, but it's so fine, you know, you can just pick up the smallest grain of the linen, say, or whatever base fabric you've got. So, because obviously you don't want your stitch coming through to the front. Normally there's loads of padding and all sorts going on, so it's very unlikely you'd see a stitch, but yeah. What do you use?
Curve. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they're a bit sort of awkward to use, aren't they? But
yeah, and I always injure myself with a curve needle.
Oh, so yeah.
Probably another reason for me to do gold work or metal thread.
No couching.
No.
What do you think is a good sort of, if you've never done gold work before or metal thread embroidery, is a good thing to start with?
Probably couching, because you may have done couching in other types of embroidery. So that would be maybe an easy thing to start with, I guess, would be couching.
Yeah.
Pearl's quite nice to stitch down. So I guess for the metal threads, purple's quite nice because your stitch disappears and it looks pretty, and you can go relatively quickly.
And you don't have to plunge.
Exactly.
You can just cut that one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We like Yeah, and I think it's, I was wondering whether, because I know when we taught the students at the RSN, we tend to sort of get them to do little separate, say, squares or something for each stitch, or a little sort of lozenge shape if it's for the cup work, rather than trying to kind of cram everything together, doing that, like just sampling the separate stitches beforehand.
Yeah, I think you do need to practice some of the techniques for metal thread before you go right into it, because it's such a different thread to use. And then you're not so worried about doing it on your actual piece because you've had a little go on the side or in a little practice frame.
Yeah, because I suppose also because the threads are a bit more prone to damage.
Yeah,
you do a bit and then you next to say some cut work and then you have to unpick it, you might damage the cut work. Or
yeah,
although I know you're supposed to work the cut work last, aren't you, because it's more delicate.
I tend to crack.
We were told when I don't know about you, but when I did my training, that you were allowed something like 5% worth of cracks.
Ooh.
On your work.
I did not know that was allowed. I will crack.
No cracks, yeah.
No cracks, yeah.
A crack is, I guess if anyone's listening, they don't know what we're talking about. It's just the pearl thread, the cut work threads, if you put your needle through it, just has a little hairline crack, doesn't it? Or if you damage it, say, with your fingernail or something, it breaks, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose a good way to describe it maybe is like a tiny spring.
Yeah.
That's closed up, and if you imagine if you've got a closed up spring and you kind of put a dent in it with the metal thread, that dent won't join up again, the spring will be broken. So you try not to get too many breaks in your spring because they don't close up, I suppose.
It's really, I think it's really frustrating because it is quite a precision based technique, isn't it? If you've got one that bit that's got a crack in it, so I can't look at it like that. Take it off.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it kind of ruins. If you've got a pristine piece with no cracks and then you get one crack, it's almost ruins the whole effect of your perfect the rest of it, and then there's one crack that just ruins it. Hence why I don't really do much cut work myself, as you both know. I stay away from that sort of thing. But I do appreciate it, and obviously I've done it, but I'm a bit more, I like my freedom. So but it is amazing when it's done beautifully, like you both do. So
you're very kind. Oh. What's your favourite stitch, Masako?
I have to say couching. But it, I like the Japanese thread, and then couching with lots of different colours.
Yeah.
You know, if it's the self-coloured one, it's a bit too blingy to me.
Yeah,
but I like the shading with the colour thread, yeah.
You have some amazing, which I've bought from you, the really fine Japanese.
Oh, the Japanese metal thread, yes.
Yeah.
That is very, very fine. And then you can stitch through the fabric.
Yeah.
It's so subtle. I usually use it with other thread. I mix it.
Mm. Do you ever couch over it? But you mix it with other metal.
When I do the couching, I tend to use like an Elizabethan twist, you know, to fill the shape, but it goes, you know.
So Elizabethan twist, so if you just explain what that is, that's a very, very fine, almost like a cord made of metal, and it looks like a little twisted cord, but it's super fine and very traditional. So just in case you don't know, Elizabethan twist.
Yeah, it's really pretty, and you don't, because you can turn it easily because it's so fine.
So fine.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Yeah. I never think to use that, actually. It's not something I ever. Maybe for the next kit.
Oh, yes. Yeah, would you like to talk about your embroidery kit?
Oh, thank you. I started doing them probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, because I had to do a metalwork design for a class. And it kind of just went from there, really. And I basically, as I was saying before, just draw from nature, you know, predominantly it's birds that I do, but they're all probably between like 7 and 8, I was going to say centimetres big, you know, sort of, I don't know, they fit into a little 4-inch or 10-centimetre ring frame, which is what I tend to present them in. As I've found out about different threads as I've gone on, you know, I've then started to incorporate those into the design, and I suppose they've got a little bit more complex over the years. I really love the process of translating, say, I've been doing this song thrush from, it's for the William Morris Society, so it's like a collaborative project. As a kit, so it's basically using the print and copying that design but translating it into metal thread embroidery, and I think the metal thread style is quite bold. I always think it's less delicate looking, like it's not like silk shading, is it, where you could do something really fine and kind of photo like. I tend to sort of stylize the patterns more with whatever's available within the technique, if that makes sense. So it's not a complete sort of spot on replica of the William Morris print. It's sort of like the interpretation in metal thread. So I really love sort of doing that side of it and working it all out. You get a kind of thrill when you come up you've got an idea that really works, or I don't know what else to say.
I think it's lovely.
I tend to, I started off using more traditional threads, I think, like I did a fox, so the tail I did in copper and silver, and then the body was in what's called art gold, so it's a slightly more tarnished, has a more tarnished effect to it. And then as they moved on, I've got a bit more adventurous with the colours and the types of threads I've used. And hopefully they bring some joy to the people who work them.
I think they do, because don't people, once they've done one of your kits, they then want the next one, and have little sets of your animals on their walls, which I think is really lovely.
Yes.
Becky Hogg Gallery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is really sweet. And if someone, people always, if they've not done the technique before, say, oh, will I be able to do this one? Is it hard? I mean, I think if you've done some hand embroidery, whatever technique it is before, you'd be fine, have a go. Because as we were saying, there's just like maybe two or three fundamental stitches within the technique. It's just that some of the threads have more texture, some are thicker, some are finer, etc. And it's just about putting them together in a design. And the kits all come with sort of step-by-step illustrated booklet. So you can work at your own pace through it. It's all there. And I have, obviously, with COVID, I've done quite a lot of Zoom teaching now. Actually working not better than being in the classroom, but there's certainly some plus sides to it, because I tend to pre-record the demonstrations, and I think people, when I'm sure you've experienced this, people can actually see much more clearly what you're doing because they've got it on their own screen at home, rather than trying to gather around a small frame, because the stitches are so fine, it's hard for people to see. That's been really good, actually. And then they can go back and watch the videos again, because I've sort of put them in YouTube, so they can.
You have a YouTube channel, Vicky?
Oh yeah. Actually, for the classes, the demonstrations are unlisted, actually, so they need the actual link for those.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of little things on there that you can watch.
Oh, but if the listener wants to take your class, and then they will get the link to the.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Video. Yes.
So they get the link there.
Yes.
So then you can kind of, the advantage of that is obviously you've done the class live on Zoom, but because some of the things take a little bit of time to do, you can then just go and do it in your own time, and then revisit the videos, which you'd have the link to. But and then you've also got the booklet and stuff, so it's pretty foolproof, I think.
Yeah, it sounds a really good idea for people, especially if some of the techniques you might not understand straight away, and then you can go back and look again and again and just kind of really get it in your mind how to work things.
Definitely. And I think the kits I do are, they're not like super hard or anything.
No, they're not.
I think they're quite accessible to
to
as long as you've done a little bit of embroidery before and can thread a needle, I think you're fine.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, your kits are so popular.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
So we're going to wrap it up there. So I just want to say thank you so much to Becky Hogg for being on our podcast. I think it's gone very well. So hopefully you'll be back for another time.
Oh, we can have a chat anytime. It's been really lovely, and it's such a nice way to spend the Sunday morning chatting to the two lovely fellow embroiderers. And I hope it's kind of given your listeners a bit of an insight, into metal thread embroidery. like maybe give it a go. Because I think when I used to look at it before knowing how to do it, it looks like quite a frightening, intimidating technique. But
yeah,
once you sort of break it down, I think, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Apart from the plunging. But
yeah. I think people should have a go at doing metal thread embroidery because it's not as scary as you say, as it looks.
And if you don't, if you're not into kind of shiny things, there are, you know, you can, you know, it doesn't have to be metal actually. You can do couching with cords and thicker threads, can't you? Try out the techniques with other materials. So it doesn't have to be all blingy and shiny.
Exactly.
So yeah, give it a go. But thank you so much for inviting me on.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Becky.
My pleasure.
Thank you everybody for listening. Massive thanks to Becky Hogg for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode. See you next time.